This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. We're going to take a look at breaking the blockade against Gaza, Viva Palestina, with George Galloway, long-term member of the British Parliament, an outspoken and well-recognized defender of human rights and supporter of Palestine. Following the massacre in Gaza that began in December 2008, Galloway called to action the world community to organize convoys to distribute medical aid to highlight the inhumanity of the continued siege of this devastated area and amplify the shift in public policy and growing solidarity of people around the world towards greater support of the Palestinian struggle. Now we listen to George Galloway recently in Brooklyn as he speaks about the blockade and prepares for his latest mission to send a flotilla of boats to Gaza to break the blockade by sea.
Brothers and sisters, comrades and friends, assalamu alaikum. All right, again in advance of this short 3-day visit to the United States, that somehow I've come here to harm the United States, that somehow we who raise funds for the humanitarian relief of a people under siege are giving succor, comfort, maybe even material aid to terrorism. We raise funds and we fight and organize to relieve the victims of terrorism, the victims of a terrorism more terrible than any individual act of terrorism, heinous though they may be, a terrorism which has persisted for more than 60 years. The unkindest cut of all is that in Palestine, the victims of terrorism are called the terrorists, and the terrorists are called the victims of terrorism. And that's the injustice against which we must stand. So I say to the FBI man in the room, would the FBI man in the room like to identify himself? We're not here to raise money for guns. We're fighting for the victims of the aeroplanes and the helicopters and the tanks and the warships and the heavy weaponry, which is paid for by the United States of American government. It's the American government that's involved in funding the terrorism of the Israeli state, not us who's involved in funding terrorism. We don't fight the people of the United States. We are fighting the policy of the United States. And we oppose that policy not just because it harms the people of Palestine. We fight against that policy because it harms the interests of the people of the United States themselves. Billions and billions of dollars, unlimited weaponry is given to this little settler state called Israel, making hundreds of millions of people around the world hate the United States of America, some of them ready to harm American interests. We say to President Obama, change this policy in the interests of your own people as well as in the interests of the people who are victims of that policy more directly. Now, the last time I was here, I spoke strongly of my sense of hope at the election of President Obama. I believed in the one conversation I had with him long before he was president that he understood the realities of what they call the Israel-Palestine conflict. I knew that he had sat at the feet of the late and great Professor Edward Said, Raja Khalidi and others, I knew that he knew and that he didn't have the alibi that the last guy did of being an imbecile. I knew that Professor Obama had the intellect to understand that this policy of the United States of unlimited financial and military and political support for this little settler state was the principal cause of hatred, division, instability, and violence throughout the world. And I still believe that he knows that. The problem is that his words spoken in Cairo, the capital of the Arab world, the heart of the Arab world, which gave so much hope to 300 million Arabs, which gave so much hope to those with an interest in resolving with justice this conflict, those words have not been matched by deeds. There was no change, not even change you can't believe in. No change at all in the attitude, in practice of the government of the United States. The course on which he has embarked can only lead to disaster for the world and for his own presidency. If he continues the Bush policy in Palestine and elsewhere, he'll go down to the same ignominious defeat that the Bush gang went down to at his hands in November of 2008. I urge him to change course in the interests of everyone who had invested so much hope in the change that he had promised. A measure of the total contempt for which the settler state of Israel holds even the United States of America, which pays all of its bills, was brazenly displayed when at the very minute that Senator George Mitchell's aeroplane took to the skies, Benjamin Netanyahu was planting trees on the illegally occupied West Bank of Palestine, West Bank of the Jordan, and declaring that Israel will never leave this land which they stole in 1967 and have held in absolute defiance of every United Nations Security Council resolution ever since. He declared that those settlements which President Obama had declared in Cairo were intolerable and unacceptable, would continue to be built and would continue forever. So the question for President Obama is this: are you going to tolerate what you said was intolerable? Are you going to accept what you said was unacceptable? And if you do, the world will continue to be destabilized, and a great swamp of hatred and bitterness will deepen and grow. And that's not in the interests of anyone, least of all the United States. Now there's another uncomfortable truth. The siege on the people of Gaza, imposed for no other reason than that the people of Palestine, in a free and democratic election, praised by the world, voted for a party which Britain and America and Israel don't like. That's the reason the siege was imposed. The day after that election result, when it became clear that the people who had won the election were not prepared to implement the policy of the people they had defeated in that election. I have never accepted that anyone is entitled to choose the Palestinian leadership except the Palestinian people themselves. But here's the uncomfortable truth. The siege on Gaza is not just an Israeli and American siege. It's not just an Israeli and American and European siege. It's an Arab siege as well. You saw all those people locked out of the gates of Gaza. Why are the gates from one Arab country to another Arab country locked at all? Indeed, why are there gates at all? That's the question. His Excellency, the former governor of North Sinai, say with a straight face that the convoy is allowed to enter Gaza for a full, he emphasized, 24 hours. Why 24 hours? Why should one Arab country tell hundreds of people who came all the way from America to give medicine to another Arab people under siege? Why should they be allowed just a full 24 hours and not as long as they would like to stay in the Arab country? And why did they club to the ground and punch and arrest the hundreds of foreigners on the Gaza Freedom March who had the temerity to arrive in Cairo on the anniversary of the 22-day war on Gaza to offer their solidarity? Why were they beating in the middle of Cairo, in the middle of the day, on live TV? This regime of Hosni Mubarak, as well as being wicked, are about as stupid a regime as it's possible to imagine anywhere in the world. And I begged them not to do so. I begged them, don't turn the 27th of December, which should be an anniversary in which all eyes and all fingers are pointing at the terrorist state of Israel, don't turn that anniversary into an attack of yourselves. But they were too stupid to see it. And they did it. And so it happened that the entire media in the Arab world was asking on the 27th of December, not why Israel attacked Gaza, but why Egypt was stopping those coming to the aid of the Palestinian people from all over the world. 520 people from 17 different countries, driving more than 200 vehicles, ambulances, trucks, carrying generators and children's toys and baby milk and medicine and medical equipment desperately needed by the people inside. They'd come from 17 countries, from as far away as Australia and Malaysia, from all over Europe, from the United States of America, and most importantly of all, hundreds of them had come from the new Turkey, led by Prime Minister Erdogan, of whom we are so proud. They moved mountains, and without them, I don't believe that our convoy would have made it into Gaza at all. We entered for 48 hours this time. We were given the full 48 hours. But 55 of our convoy members entered Gaza still bleeding from the assaults that they had suffered from the security forces of the tyrant Mubarak. Their white bandages staining red as they entered the Gaza Strip. The people of Gaza were kissing their bandages, kissing the blood on their heads because it had been shed in order to reach Palestine. One of them still there, half Scottish, half Libyan, addressing the security forces of Mubarak, asking them to imagine that it was their daughter, their mother, who was behind those gates, desperately in need of the medicine that he had brought, how they would feel. He told them, we have no quarrel with you. All that we ask is that you allow us to pass to the prisoners inside Gaza in this great concentration camp. But I'll tell you this, Gaza is the only prison in the world where people from all over the world are fighting to get in rather than fighting to get out. We, with our convoys, are often thanked by the people in Gaza. But the proper answer is that it is we who should be thanking you for the example of resistance which you have displayed to the whole world. We all started out in this cause, myself 35 years ago, to try to help liberate Palestine from the river to the sea. We have not yet achieved it, but Gaza is the only part of Palestine which is free and liberated and dignified and Arab, and that's why we love it so much. Now you know what happened to me at the end of that 48 hours. I received word from inside the Egyptian state that I was to be arrested on my re-entry into Egypt from Gaza. I knew that if I was arrested in front of 520 of my comrades, there would be a repetition of the horrific events in Al-Arish, in which so many of our people were wounded and some arrested. So together with my comrade Ron Mackay, who's now coordinating the work of Viva Palestina here in the United States, I decided to leave at the dead of night in advance of the others. And sure enough, as soon as we crossed onto Egyptian territory, we were forcibly, physically forced into a van by Egyptian security forces and driven, surrounded by Mukhabarat security forces of the Egyptian regime, none of them telling us where we were going. For all we knew, we might have been going to prison or worse. They drove us to Cairo airport. They forced us into the airport. They followed us around the airport, even to the toilet. When Ron took the picture of one of them, there was almost a shooting incident in front of all the tourists in Cairo airport. They told me that I was to be deported, and as I got onto the steps of the airplane, one of the officials of the Mubarak regime stepped forward. He said that I was declared persona non grata and was no longer welcome in Egypt. Now, persona non grata is Latin for a person without status. I've got news for you, President Mubarak. From where I'm standing, I have rather more status in the Arab Republic of Egypt than you do or those who serve you. And I will one day be back in Egypt when your dictatorship falls and the Egyptians are on the streets in their millions. I'll be there in the streets of Cairo. And I assure you, who will have the status then? Much more seriously, the regime then announced that there would be no more land convoys permitted across Egyptian soil into Gaza. And they added, whomsoever leads them. Let me tell you why they added that last phrase. Because the next land convoy was going to be led by Comandante Hugo Chavez of Viva Palestina, Venezuela. And you can imagine, President Mubarak doesn't want to see Hugo Chavez in Egypt. The people of Egypt might rise up and make Chavez the President of the Arab Republic of Egypt. With Erdogan as his Prime Minister, that would be quite a team. That would change everything. So there are no more land convoys. What are our options? Well, let me tell you the one non-option. We will never leave the people of Gaza. We will never allow them to face this suffering alone. And so there's only one way. The sea is open for those who have the courage to take to it. And I assure them, we do and we will. My comrade Kevin, the former coordinator of Viva Palestina USA, and the organizer of the American convoy, indeed the organizer of all three of the convoys, is today in Istanbul. He's negotiating in Istanbul for a Viva Palestina 4, which will leave the Turkish port of Messin with ships from many nations, from South Africa, from Malaysia, from Venezuela, and I hope from the United States of America, and we'll be sailing into the harbor of Gaza over the next few months, and I hope that you will be there with us. We will charter Turkish ships. We will sail with the blessing of the government of Turkey. We will sail under Turkish flags from wherever we came. We will sail through the international waters, a huge flotilla of ships filled with aid, including building materials, which Egypt has never allowed ever to cross through the Rafah gate. So that all those people whose houses were destroyed are still living in tents in the rubble of their destroyed houses. Our ships will be filled with cement and hammers and nails and building materials and glass to repair the 40,000 broken windows in Gaza. When our ship comes in, all of Gaza will be lined along the shore. It will be a day like no other day that has ever dawned in the Gaza Strip, and I hope that you'll be a part of it. Of course, Israel may try to stop it, but if we have enough ships, with enough publicity, with enough VIPs on board, if we have enough ships that we can't all be turned back, that we can't all be rammed, that we can't all be jailed like Cynthia in Ashkelon, then we'll arrive in Gaza. And if they keep us at sea, we'll remain at sea. That'll be a good story around the world. People from all the countries of the earth trying to bring aid to a people under siege, being blockaded by Israeli naval vessels supplied free of charge by the taxpayers of the United States. So we're going by sea to Gaza. If you own a ship, volunteer. If you've got sea legs, come forward. If you can't be with us, then you have to support us financially. You have to give to Al Auda New York, who will fundraise between now and the convoy to make sure that New York City is represented on that convoy. And here's a new angle. We're not just going to take things into Gaza. We're going to take produce and artifacts and sand and pebbles from the beach of Gaza, sand from the refugee camps of Gaza. We're going to fill our ships with things from Gaza, and we're going to take them outside and offer them to the world, making a sea bridge between besieged Gaza and the outside world. We will never forget the people of Gaza, and we will never leave them standing alone. Here I address the Arabs and the Muslims in the audience with words many of you have heard from me before about the little girl in Gaza who lost her mother and her father and all five of her brothers, to whom I spoke in March in the rubble of her house, who asked me, "Where is this great Arab world that they teach us about in school? Why did they leave us to face all of this alone? What did we do to deserve to be left to face all of this alone?" I told her then, and I want to tell her again, that the regimes may be sleeping, but the Arabs and the Muslims and the decent Christians and the decent non-believers around the world want to come to your side and are determined to do so. Go to our website, vivapalestina.org. Click on the American page. We're back in business. We're alive and kicking. We're sailing to Gaza, and I hope to see you there, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum.
That was the intrepid, indomitable George Galloway, long-term member of the British Parliament and, most importantly, organizer to break the blockade against Gaza. Viva Palestina. Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our new website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.